friends, and welcome back to the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. I'm Jill Sullivan, your host and one of the co-founders of the While We're Waiting ministry. This is a podcast of stories, stories of devastating loss and grief and heartbreak and struggle, and stories of hope and healing and faith and yes, even joy. Underlying every conversation is the hope we have in Jesus Christ, which makes it possible to not just survive the loss of a child, but to live well while we're waiting to see them again in heaven one day. You can learn more about our ministry and the free bereaved parent retreats we host by visiting our website at www.whilewerewaiting.org. Welcome to episode number 198, which is a continuation of my conversation with Michelle Ferris about the loss of her only son, Corbin. Before we get into that discussion, though, I want to put in one last plug for the Our Hearts Are Home conference coming up this Friday and Saturday, April 12 and 13 in Lynchburg, Virginia. It includes an amazing panel of speakers, several of whom have been guests on this podcast: Gary and Laura House, Melanie D. Simone, Carol Brown, Hal and Elizabeth Barge, Lisa Thacker and her husband Kirk, along with a number of other amazing speakers. You can participate either in person or online, and registration information is available at ourheartsarehome.org/conference. The cost is very affordable, and there are even scholarships available if you're in need of that. I know it's only a couple days away, but it's still not too late to sign up. The link is in the show notes. Now to our guest. Michelle is a single mom who tragically lost her only child, her son Corbin, on the 4th of July in 2020. We began our conversation in last week's episode, so today is a continuation of that. Michelle shares very openly and honestly about her experience as a single mom who lost her only child through her social media pages, and we will talk about some of her postings and writings today. I believe you'll be blessed by listening in. One thing I really appreciate about you is that you are very open and honest in your social media pages about your grief journey. And if it's okay with you, I'd really like to ask you about some of your posts.
Sure.
Yeah, you posted some morning thoughts. I mean, just in preparing for this interview, I went back through your social media and just picked out some things. You know, I've read them through the years since I've met you, but I wanted to specifically ask you about some of them. And there was a post on November 3rd, 2020, about morning thoughts, and then you reposted them. They probably came up in your memories, and you reposted them just this past November about how staying busy is not a solution to grief. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I think more so in those early days when I would come across people, sometimes they'd say, "How you doing? Are you staying busy, or you just got to stay busy, right?" Or, you know, and it's just like, I just would think, why do they think that's a solution to what I'm feeling right now? Like, I miss my child. Yeah. Staying busy isn't gonna, you know, is not the solution. And I think, you know, it's good to keep busy with some things, but you also just need to have that downtime to actually grieve and just sit in the feelings and be sad. 'Cause there's no way around it. You know, right. You have to go through it. Mm-hmm. And keeping busy is just going to, if you just keep busy all the time, it's going to just prolong it, and you're going to have to deal with it later anyways.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very true. Often when we as grieving parents meet new people and they discover that we've lost a child, they will ask us, "What happened?" And that can be a really uncomfortable question for a bereaved parent to answer. And you wrote about this in January on your Facebook page. Will you share what you've learned about responding to that question?
Yeah. And I will say, like, in the first year or two of my grief, like, I wanted to tell people what happened. For me, that was my way personally, because I don't know if it was just my way of processing it and making it seem real. Like, I wanted to tell people, and I thought to myself later, well, maybe they didn't want to hear all the details, but, you know, I was just so open. I'm like, well, this is fact. This is my life, you know? Yeah. But now that I've kind of, you know, come along a little further and I'm 3.5 years into it, I feel like I don't always want to share the details because it takes me right back to that day. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want for someone just randomly to say, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm not in the mode of wanting to go back to that day because I relive it, I should only go back to it when I choose to.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. so I found that I also try to put on my social media to let other people know, like, well, this is what you should say to a grieving parent instead. But I think it's just, you know, I think it's okay to say thanks for asking, but that's really painful. And I just can't right now. But I think people don't realize that it really just takes us back to that day. And you know, like the difference of me losing Corbin suddenly like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have a longer process right. in your story with mm-hmm. Hannah. But for me, just to go right back to that day is...
Yeah,
you relive it. And people don't think about that. And I think if people just thought about, okay, it's about they've lost a loved one. It doesn't matter what happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
Their loved one isn't here anymore.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I love that you just kind of gave everybody permission to say, you know, I'd rather not talk about that right now. That's very painful for me. We can mm-hmm. say that and it's okay.
Yes, for sure. That, there's mm-hmm. those boundaries again.
Yes. You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think sometimes we feel like we have to answer that question, but we don't. We don't.
We don't.
And it's okay to decline. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Grieving parents also often struggle with the idea of prayer. And I know you've wrestled with this yourself, and you wrote about it on Facebook a few months ago in January. What have you learned through your wrestling?
Mm. Yeah. You know, prayer, it is still a hard thing for me, but I do wrestle with it because sometimes you hear about other people's children that were saved or they got over this illness or they survived this accident and, you know, their prayers were answered.
Yeah.
And I think, well, weren't my prayers answered? Or didn't, you know, and it's like I've realized that even though God didn't answer my prayer the way that I prayed so hard, you know, I so wanted him to do what I wanted him to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean that he didn't answer it mm-hmm. and that Corbin is safe and loved and he won't have to experience this broken world anymore. And so I do wrestle with knowing that and being thankful for it. And then my heart also aching and wanting him here.
Sure.
And, so it is hard. But I've also seen where God has answered. I mean, he answers prayers, but it's like, you know, it's, we're so one-sided on it, right? Like we see like, oh, well, this thing that I wanted turned out the way I wanted it to. So he answered my prayer. But even if we don't get what we want, he still is answering us because he knows the bigger picture.
Yes.
And there was an instance last year on July 4th, you know, was the 3-year mark. And I was really nervous going into that weekend and just feeling like people aren't remembering as much or I'm going to just feel so alone. And hindsight, God really put people in my path that weekend to really be there and be supportive for me.
Yeah.
And he didn't leave me alone. He really showed up for me. And so I see that more and more because I think maybe my eyes are open to it more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. You know, thinking about Corbin going to heaven on 4th of July, is that difficult that it happened on a holiday, a day that people are out celebrating and, you know, shooting fireworks and things like that? Is that difficult for you? I'm just curious.
It is difficult, but I think it's also because it's on that day, it's something that people won't forget.
True. Yeah.
You know, and so I do get a lot of messages. People, you know, have still reached out to me because they remember as they're with their families and friends celebrating. It's so significant that they remember Corbin died on that day. So I think on that side, it is helpful, but it is hard too. So it's, you know, as with a lot of things that we carry that are bittersweet, I guess, as you would say, yeah. Or as we say, as grieving parents. But
sure. Yeah. I could see the positives and negatives of mm-hmm. that day for sure.
Yeah.
I think my favorite social media post you've made was just a few weeks ago when you shared a writing that you did as part of a class that you were taking. And the writing prompt was, if your grief could speak, what would it say? And I love that prompt for just to begin with. And I really liked your response. Would you mind sharing what your response was to that? I just thought it was beautiful.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. My grief is many things. Grief is contradictory. It's loving my son so deeply and missing him so much that my heart hurts. It's anger. Why did this happen? Why did God take my only child, my everything? Why? And what now? Who am I? What will become of me? Grief is questions. What is important? What do I have time for? What do I have energy for? The mental capacity for? I'm lonely, but I want to be alone. I want to be with others, but I don't. I want to scream, and I don't want to speak. Grief is lonely. I live here and in the past. Grief is my companion now, a companion I didn't want, I didn't ask for. I want my son, not this companion called grief. Grief is love. Grief is here because I loved. That love came in the form of a son, made me a mother. Grief is heavy. I have to shift it around, sometimes holding it with both hands. Other times I can carry it on my side or my back. It both can feel lighter in moments, but also has become part of me, so I get used to carrying it. I'll never put it down. This grief will be with me forever, as my love for my son is forever. Love hard, grieve hard. What is my purpose in this grief? To continue to love Corbin, to show others him through me. What are you saying to me, grief? Why are you so loud? Because love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, grief is loud, isn't it?
It is loud. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the absence of Corbin is loud.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always there.
Right.
It's funny how the absence of someone is always there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In so many different things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I loved what you shared there because I could relate to every bit of it, you know, and there's such a contrast there. You know, I want to scream, but I don't want to speak. It's all contrasts. And I think that that is just a picture of a grieving parent mm-hmm. On so many levels. So thank you so much for sharing that. You also wrote a poem early on in your grief that were as if Corbin were speaking. They are words from Corbin's perspective. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I will say that in the first couple of weeks after Corbin died, I pictured him saying to me in my head, "Mom, you should see it here. It's amazing. Just hold on and you'll see."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that later led to me shortly after writing this poem called Just Hold On. I know your heart hurts. Just hold on and you'll see. I see the pain in your tears. Just hold on and you'll see. I know you love and miss me. Just hold on and you'll see. I see you feel broken. Just hold on and you'll see. I know you are angry and lost. Just hold on and you'll see. I see the loneliness in you. Just hold on and you'll see. You are in God's hands. Just hold on and you'll see. He has a plan for you. Just hold on and you'll see. I'm home with him. Just hold on and you'll see. It's amazing here. You should see it. Just hold on and you'll see. You are one day closer. Just hold on and you'll see. Just hold on, Mom.
I love that. I hope that encourages someone who's listening to just hold on.
Yeah.
Because they're going to see too.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, were you a writer at all before Corbin went to heaven?
No.
I know you said you went out and bought a journal, so you didn't, must not have been writing too much.
No. And no, I was not a journal. And as far as a writer, as far as journals go, I had periods of times over the years where I would start writing, but I didn't ever really keep up with it. So,
yeah.
But writing, you know, writing poems, that was not something that I really did before, but it has helped me. First couple years of my grief, especially, I wrote quite a few. They're short poems, but
yeah, sure.
It has helped me get my feelings out.
Yeah, sure. It seems to me like a gift that God has given you to help you process your feelings and get them out. And you getting your feelings out, I think, is helpful to others that read mm-hmm. them. So I think that's great.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a very special piece of driftwood at that beach where Corbin met Jesus. Talk about that driftwood.
Yeah. So my brother had made a really beautiful cross out of driftwood for Corbin and put close to that area. He carved his name in it. It was beautiful. Unfortunately, about a year later, somebody had cut it down. But in that time, before it was cut down, I discovered a piece of driftwood on the beach a little bit further down, but pretty close to the same area, that to me looked like a misshapen heart. And in the inside of it, because the wood, you know, made the shape of a heart. And I just thought, wow, that looks like a heart. And it just, I look for things that have hearts now, like rocks and leaves and clouds. And so I discovered that actually it was on the first birthday that I had for myself after Corbin died. I discovered that driftwood heart on the beach. So I love to go visit it, go see, because it changes every time, you know, with the sand and the water and the sun. It either gets buried more or it gets unburied. And it just seemed like a really poignant kind of thing to find there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I love it. I've seen pictures of it, of course, on your Facebook page, and it is absolutely beautiful. I love driftwood anyway, so that is beautiful. And you wrote a little writing about the driftwood as well. Share that with us.
Yeah. Yep. This is a short little poem called "A Driftwood Heart." A grieving mother's heart, a piece of driftwood on the beach. Pieces missing, not complete, changed but the same, rough edges smoothed by the elements, ever changing, never what was, created by God, changed by the world, searching for a new purpose, how to fit into this place, a changed heart, a different world, a piece of driftwood looking for its place, a piece of driftwood tragically beautiful.
Tragically beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your writings with us. I just think they're going to be helpful to a lot of people.
You're welcome.
I think all of us who are bereaved parents have this very sharp dividing line, like a fault line in our lives, that kind of marks the before and the after. Think about the before Michelle and the after Michelle. How is she different?
Yeah, I do reference everything to before and after. Before Corbin, after Corbin. I would say the before me was definitely more social and would easily attend social events with friends. That definitely is a big change, and it's slowly transforming, where it just depends on how I'm feeling if I get out, you know, but I do, that has become a little bit more since the early days. The after me gets anxious more easily. I never really used to, I don't think I really experienced anxiety much before, maybe a little, but I do get anxious about, you know, big social gatherings, or if it's just, it just depends on what the situation is. But so yeah, anxiety is one. The after me is not as fearful if something bad is going to happen, because for me, the worst already happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really don't see how anything worse than losing my child could happen to me. And right. Maybe, you know, that's just how I feel. But,
sure.
And I know, you know, other bereaved parents who still have living children Often I've heard from them that they become more fearful that something else is going to happen to one of their children, which I completely understand that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Obviously for me, it's different because I did lose my only one. So,
yeah.
So I don't feel like I have anything else to fear.
Yeah.
And the after me also, I think I give myself more permission to say no to things, to give myself those boundaries than I did before. Or if I have to cancel on something, you know, the before me, I feel like, well, I'm committed. I may not really feel like going, but I said I would, so I go. Where now I'm like, if I feel emotionally like I can't, I'm okay. And I just, you know, tell people I can't go. And you don't need to give an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
And then the after me, I do feel a deeper desire to be closer to God and to learn more about heaven. You know, I want to be where Corbin is, and I feel, I think, more of an intimacy in when I read the Bible and learning about God's love for us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you learned about the character of God through your loss?
You know, I rely heavily on the fact that he will never leave me or forsake me.
Yes.
That often comes in my mind. I look back and I feel carried by God. So I think even though I've struggled with trusting him, but I think, you know, time and again, he shows me that he is trustworthy. And then if I just lean into that, because he's all powerful and he knows the big picture, and I have to just have to settle into just being okay with not knowing.
Right.
And just, you know, rely on what his all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving plans are for us. I mean, I may not like it, as any child with parents sometimes don't like the things that, you know, they put in place, but yeah, I do feel like I have those temper tantrums sometimes, but
yeah, I definitely appreciate that. I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Rusty, your dog. Talk about what a companion your dog has been to you.
Oh, I love it when people ask me that. It's like, you know that how important, people know how important my dog Rusty is to me. And me and Corbin adopted Rusty about 8 months before Corbin died. So I look back at that and I think God knew that I would need that companion, you know. But yeah, he's just, I don't know what I would do without him. I just pour so much love into him and snuggle him, and he's with me, you know, all the time. And
he gives you that love right back, doesn't he?
He does, just such a comfort, and someone for me to pour love into, and helps me not feel so alone.
Well, that's another thing. I always enjoy seeing your pictures of Rusty on your Facebook page.
He's a bit spoiled.
Yes. I know what a great companion a dog can be. You know, we've had dogs, you know, throughout our lives. We haven't had one for years now because of what we do. It's just impossible. But my daughter has a dog, has two now, and they're such good friends for her, such great companions. And I love that you have Rusty, and I hope you have Rusty for a long, long time.
I do too. And it was nice because I have memories of that with Corbin too, because we had him for those 8 months. So
That's good. I know that the holiday season can be especially hard for a grieving parent. And I can imagine that's even more true when you've lost your only child, when you're single, when you find yourself alone. But I know you do a very special project around the holidays every year in memory of Corbin. Talk about making movie memories.
Yes, the last couple of years. So me and Corbin loved going to the movies, and that's one of the many things that I miss doing, you know, watching movies at home with him, going to the movie theater. We just really enjoyed that. And a couple of holiday seasons ago, I thought, what can I do to honor him at the holiday time? And then I thought of that, and I was like, it's so expensive for families to go to the movies, you know, the ticket popcorn mm-hmm. drink. Like, it's expensive. And I know as a single mom over the years, you know, I'd have to kind of finagle ways for us to be able to go out and do that, you know, as a fun activity. And maybe sometimes when I shouldn't have spent the money, but we did it anyways. And so I came up with this idea of gifting movie gift cards to families. And I reached out to an elementary school a couple years ago. And I said, if I do this and I get collection donations from friends and family, will you help me identify the families to give them to? And it's interesting because the elementary school that I reached out to is just down the street from where I live. And the lady that I talked to there, the dean of students, when I did talk to her for the first time and I told her why I was doing it, and that I wanted to do it in honor of my son, she informed me that she had also lost her son. Oh, and wow. So it felt so right for me yeah. to have contacted her and to do it for that school.
Yeah.
And we both started crying and
sure. Yes.
Yeah. So, 2022 was the first year that I did it on a bigger scale. I did it just myself the year before that. We were able to bless 24 families the first year. So we give each family member a $25 gift card, you know, that'll cover the ticket, movie, or popcorn and drinks. And then I also put together little gift bags with microwave popcorn, candy canes, hot chocolate for them to have at home.
Yeah.
And then this last year, 2023, we gifted 25 families for a total of 102 people. So it's been such a blessing. And it's not super complicated, you know, because sometimes you're overwhelmed with your grief. But I start collecting donations just from friends and family, you know, through my Facebook a couple of months before the holidays. And then I assemble all the little gift bags. And for me, when I did that, especially this last year, it felt to me, you know, I was doing it on a Sunday and I had music going, not Christmas music, because that still is hard for me, but it felt like I was wrapping presents for Corbin when I was assembling those gift bags.
I love that.
And because Christmas is really hard and I don't do much around it since Corbin has died.
Yeah.
So
I love that. It's such a simple but unique idea. And what a special gift for those families. I just think that's so special. And then the fact that you and Corbin had that special movie, you know, those movie experiences together. I love that idea. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, I've actually, in distributing those gift bags, a couple of the families have said to me that they have also lost a child. So it's interesting, like, you don't realize who may be struggling in mm-hmm. your community. And so it's a little hug to my heart that I'm able to give that for them too. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So one last question I always like to ask, and I think I already know the answer to this one for you. Has music been an important part of your grief journey? And if so, what is on your playlist?
Yes, music is very important. There's so much on my playlist, but I definitely Toby Mac music.
Of course.
His whole Life After Death album. I don't know if
you've listened
to that, I assume. Specifically his song Faithfully.
Yes.
That's one that I really enjoy a lot and get a lot out of. Some Jeremy Camp songs, This Too Shall Pass and Steady Me. There's an artist I wasn't too familiar with before called his name is Dan Breams.
Yeah, I don't know him.
There's a song he has called Hold You Tight, and it's just, you know, about God holding us tight and holding on to us.
Yeah, I'll have to look for that one.
Yeah. And One Day by Cochran and Company.
Yes, love that one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. You're Gonna Be Okay by Jen Johnson. Another Toby Mac one, which is one that Corbin liked a lot, which among many, but Till the Day I Die by Toby Mac.
Yeah.
And there's another one that's I thought of when you asked when you prepared me for these questions is that there's one that Corbin really liked a lot, and it's a hip-hop Christian song. He liked to listen to his kind of hip-hop music, and it's called 116 by Trip Lee. And it's based on Romans 1:16.
Yes, I've heard that one too. And it's, you know,
says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. All I need is 1:16 to brag on my king because he runs this thing. So,
Very good. Yeah, good songs. I think we you and I and Corbin all have the same taste in music. Those are all some of my favorites too.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much for everything that you've shared with us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we go?
I would just like to invite anybody, you know, if they ever want to reach out to me, you know, especially like you mentioned, moms that have lost, or, you know, parents that have lost an only child. Because I know that it just has different layers to the grief, and to just hold on.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God will redeem this brokenness.
Yes. Yes. That's the promise. You know, that's what we look forward to. Is it okay if I put your Facebook information in the show notes? So if people want to reach out to you, they can, or at least even just send you a friend request on Facebook and follow you. Okay.
Absolutely.
Good. Yeah. And I love how intentional you've been about seeking out community with other grieving moms. And, I think that's been helpful for you, and I think that's going to be helpful for a lot of people. That's just so, it's so important to make those connections with other people that understand, and I appreciate the way that you've done that.
Oh, thank you. It has been very important to me, and I think it is important. I know everybody does things differently, but for me, it feels also a way of continuing all these things I do in my grief, of showing my love for Corbin and you know, giving love to others and showing God's love as well. So,
Yeah. And I think all of that has equipped you to minister and just to be an encouragement to other grieving moms. So yeah, I'll put your contact information in there, and hopefully some moms may reach out to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you, Jill. I have enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, please take just a moment to leave a rating or a review, and please feel free to share it with someone you know who might be helped by it. We're so grateful for all of you who come back and listen every week, and those of you who may be listening for the very first time. I hope God has used it to encourage you today and to help you live well while you're waiting.